Ja, men vi sitter ju i Kobras tobus nu.
Ja, du sa det när vi var på väg hit och vi snackade lite. Och jag har ändå varit mycket mer runt golf, kände jag.
Ja, precis.
Än dig genom åren, alltså genom åren, och satsat och tävlat. Men du var bara liksom... halkat in här med 6,5 till handikapp,
ja,
eller?
lite så liksom. Ja, kommit in som amatören och liksom fått den synvinkeln på det.
Hur länge sedan såg det så glad?
Något som jag tänkte på, det var liksom, hur var din dröm när du var liten? Jag menar, det här hade kunnat vara du som fick allting det här serverat. Du vet, någon som kommer att göra dina klubbor, någon som kommer att stötta dig på tävlingarna med olika bounce och grinds och hitan och ditan, va?
Ja.
Vad var drömmen? När du var liten och skulle spela golf. Alla de här 10 000 timmarna.
Men, alltså, jag liksom, alla de här tusentals timmarna. Men, alltså, jag var så här. Jag vet inte. Jag är lite tudelad till hur jag ska tänka framöver i huvudet när det kommer till sport. För att jag är liksom uppfostrad att nej, men en idol var löjligt.
Ja, men du hade
du fattar vad jag menar. Det var så här, han var duktig på det och den var bra på det. Men jag är liksom... Ja, men vadå, om han är duktig, träna själv och bli lika bra själv. Alltså, ja, det var lite den...
Jag menar ju, i fotbollen så ville alla spela VM. Och alla ville vinna VM.
Alla ville till, du vet, på,
ja, exakt. Man ville spela i Premier League och hit och dit. Vad var målet när du spelade golf?
Nej, men så här var det. Jag tror att jag tog en promenad en gång en kväll i USA när jag hade vunnit mina två raka tävlingar liksom, och signat ny skola. Och det gick jag en gång i skogen själv så här, och bara rensade huvudet, så hittade jag en golfboll mitt i skogen. Och då kände jag typ så här att... Nu kör vi. Ja, är du med? Ja. Och då hade jag riktiga ambitioner och verkligen bli proffs. Men de kom ju, skulle jag säga, i 22-23 års åldern.
Är du med? Sant?
Ja, det skulle jag ändå...
Men vad fick du att få motivationen då när du stod och slog där i ösregn och det var snö och det var grejer? Och var det bara att bli så bra som möjligt då? Och så fick du se hur långt du skulle... Nej, men hade du ingen mål liksom?
Jo, men det var också så att jag har alltid varit duktig, så då har det alltid varit roligt.
Ja, det var kul för stunden.
Det är liksom kul för att du är duktig på det.
Ja, okay. Jag trodde att du hade tydligare mål nämligen.
Så här var det. Mitt tydliga mål var att komma till college. Det var mitt mål.
Det är ändå ett rimligt mål.
Okay.
Tills du var 22-24 då.
Precis. Ja, och sen när man kom dit, då behövde jag samla kraft och hitta nästa mål. Så du har helt rätt. Men tydliga delmål där då. Exakt.
Ja, bra. Har vi klarat av det?
Ja, vi har gjort det. Sen, jag hamnade ändå i Torbussen till slut.
Ja, du gjorde det. Varmt, varmt välkomna gamla som nya golfare till Golftugget. En podd som både sänker dig och förhoppningsvis höjer dig. Det är ju äntligen fredag den 29 mars och nu är det äntligen dags att knäppa loss säkerhetsbältet, fälla ner stolsryggen och avnjuta en kalldryck, förslagsvis en...
Bryggmästarens alkoholfria kanske. Eller som du sa, inte knäppa upp en sån utan att knäppa upp byxorna när man sätter sig och slappnar av.
Men det är ändå fredag liksom. Mm. Och imorgon kväll så ska vi faktiskt ställa fram klockan, hörni.
Mm.
För då går vi in i sommartid, det är ju ett stort steg framåt.
Då ställer vi fram grillen.
Precis, fram med grillen, fram med klockan. Ja. Nu kan vi börja spela kvällsnior. Men vi sitter ju, som vi varit inne på, i Kobras torbus på Forsgården GK. Här har vi varit och lirat faktiskt, Johar.
Ja, här har jag spelat. Mitt starkaste minne här är när jag spelade någon sån här Scandia Tour Rix i typ 16 års ålder, 17 års ålder.
Ah, okay.
Ja, och så kommer man ut hit och så är det, som det är ibland i maj, så här spöregn 11 timmar i sträck.
Ja.
Och då är man ju duktig junior och går där med handdukar torra och handskar i plastpåsar, du vet. Och Gore-Tex skor och byter strumpor efter 9. Men det är efter 5-6 timmar, då ger man bara upp. Så jag bara gick där på ett fält. Du vet, bara, du fattar, det bara pisk och slog. Det var sån där, så här, kom och ta mig här nu, stormen liksom.
Men då kände du,
sista 5 timmarna.
Vad kul det är liksom.
Ja, det är ett sånt hårt minne jag har från Forsgården. Men jag spelade seriespel för 2 år sedan här också. En väldigt, väldigt fin bana.
Ja,
jag
tycker det är
fint. Jag ska inte...
Du glömde att vi spelade förra året här, du och jag och
just
Johanna.
Just det, gjorde vi också. Ja. Vilken dag det var.
Kvällen. Ja.
Otroligt fin dag.
Magiskt.
Ja, det var ordning och reda.
Men roligt. Men innan vi går vidare och kastar ljus på era lyssnarfrågor som ni har skickat in idag, som vi ska hålla tillsammans med Jamie här från Torbussen, så vill jag bara säga ett stort grattis till Jens och Jonas som var namnsdag.
Mm.
Det är nog gött. Lillebrorsen heter Jonas.
Just det.
Ni vet namn nu.
Mm. Och Jonas Willman vet jag lyssnar också.
Ja, precis.
Ja.
Stort grattis Jens och Jonas.
Mm. Stort grattis.
Vi har ju med oss dagens lyssnarfråga, Jorri, och den presenteras av
Cobra
Puma
Golf.
Eller hur?
Alltså det känns så overkligt
att vara här. Det hade varit konstigt
här
annars, ja, när vi sitter här. Mm. Det är rätt gott att sitta här och podda i. Hur känns det, tycker du?
Alltså det är en så sjuk buss. Alltså, som du sa, vad ska man med båt till?
Ja, om man har... Du vet, tänk att ta med den här till Börda. Ja. Ställa den på Börda.
Börda Sand.
Börda Sand.
Här är en bedrövligt sjuk buss.
Ja, nu är
det med en verkstad. Det är så varje låda man öppnar här, det är liksom inte att någonting... det är häftiga grejer som kommer ut.
Ja, det kan man säga.
Nej, det är goals.
Men vad har vi för lyssnarfråga med oss då?
Ja, alltså, jag tänkte klargöra en grej. Jag har fått jättemycket skit på Instagrammen. Snackade, det får vara kanske 2 veckor sedan, så snackade vi om PCC.
Ja.
Alltså vi snackar, du var så här,
ja,
vi var inne att så här, att ditt nya handikappsystem, att det är svårt en dag, så ja, så då hade jag sagt att så är det bara på tävling.
Ja, okej.
Ja, att men det gör tydligen, det regleras väldigt friskt här.
Hela tiden?
Ja, så att det är många som har skickat in. Så jag lägger mig, ja. Sorry. Sorry. Så jag var tvungen liksom att... vi kan ta upp det här ett inskick då, för jag smsade till domaren och skrev, hallå domaren, vad är PCC?
Uh-huh.
Ja, och det står för Playing Conditions Calculation.
Okay.
Och så som det fungerar då, eller domaren, det är så här. Jag fick svaret så här, tjena Arne, hej domaren, vad är PCC? Fick svaret, hej Joar. Jo, man tittar på resultaten på en bana varje dag. Skårar inlämnade före 24.00. Om ovanligt många har bättre eller sämre resultat än normalt, så görs en korrigering.
Uh-huh.
Alltså kanske minus 1 eller 0 eller plus 1 plus 2 plus 3. Beräkningen görs automatiskt av Git. Och Git är ju det här bokningssystemsverktyget här. Och påverkar alla som registrerar en score för den dagen. Det vill säga även det som registrerar dagen efter.
De senaste 24 timmarna.
Exakt,
då.
Exakt. Ja. Så att, och det måste vara mer än 8 runder som är reggade för att PCC ska räknas.
Ja, men det är det ju. Ja, per att, klubb då.
Ja, exakt. Så att om 8 man reggar minst och alla går sämre än handikapp.
Ja.
Ja, då,
men det är ju briljant. Då har vi ju,
då
vi var
vi
inne på att snacka om detta i förra avsnittet, just det här med att folk går runt och surar, man är inte tillräckligt glad när man går runt och spelar, för att man spelar inte på sitt bästa handicap. Men där har du ju hela grejen. Då är det ju ingen fara. Då regleras ju det per automatik.
Faktiskt.
Så att om det är skitvärde, så behöver du inte, så är 36 poäng mycket lättare att få
så
då.
Våran fantastiska idé att köra ett nytt golftugget handicap med Norre, den fanns redan.
Ja.
Ja, det var skrupta, inte. Så fick vi också ett roligt inskick från det här avsnittet med Greenkeepen.
Ja, kul.
Så var det någon som snackade om och hur det är med torvor och lägga tillbaka torvor, och skrev att han hade hittat en rolig variant på detta.
Ja.
Som är att det är green fee-regeln.
Aha.
Och det är så här att
green fee.
Om man har betalat green fee,
ja.
Nej, vad ska man fan inte slå från en uppslagen torva. Då får man lägga upp bollen i torvan, tycker man.
Jaha.
Och slå den på fairway.
Ja.
Mm, jag tyckte den. Jag har den något, eller?
Ja, men vad fan?
Om du spelar din hemmaklubb och du ligger i en torva, då kan du ändå få ta det. Men om du lägger 1100 kronor och spelar, då vill du slå från...
Vad tycker du om det? Fan, alltså... vi var ju i Los Naranjos. Ja, första hålet ligger i en torva. Frågar jag, får jag ta upp den?
Ja, men, nej. Betalar du green för den, Orre?
Nej.
Jag säger det. Min teorin håller ju liksom, eller hur?
Ja, det är sant. Ja, det är sant. Ja. Nej, men vad fan, det låter väl ändå som en rätt skön grej liksom.
Ja. Och istället då för att ta upp en lyssnarfråga i det här segmentet, så det vi kommer göra nu är ju egentligen, och vi har summerat ner alla era lyssnarfrågor, för vi kommer nu att bjuda in Jamie till podden.
Precis.
Det är ju, vi ska ju reda på mer om honom också, men vem, han jobbar här i bussen och bygger klubborna för alla Europatorspelare, va?
Ja, det är rätt coolt.
Ja,
jävligt coolt, så det ska vi definitivt ta reda på.
Ja.
Men innan vi gör det, så måste jag bara presentera dagens bullebärs, som i vanlig ordning presenteras då av Bryggmästarens Alkoholfria.
Alldeles att det glöd upp så mycket i blicken.
Den är topp.
Ja, som du säger också, den är bra, för den tar inte lika mycket dagen efter heller.
Nej, det gör inte det. Alltså, man känner, du vet, tar du 3-4 stycken, kan du ändå gå upp tidigt.
Du kan ändå gå upp och vara fräsch.
Stort tack till Bryggmästarens
Alkoholfria.
Nej, men för att göra detta då på rätt sätt, så kommer vi ta detta på engelska tillsammans med Jamie. För att vi vill ha experterna, va?
Mm. Hur gör man då? Ska vi räkna ner och switcha, eller? Det är lite nervöst att gå över nu, eller?
3, 2, ett hi Amy. Nice to meet you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's an honor to sit here with you in the tour bus.
Welcome to the tour bus. So.
What do you call it? Does it have a name? Or?
No, it doesn't at the moment, no.
A nice boat usually have a good name, you know?
Yes, we should come up with one.
Yeah, I think the name of a boat should be 7 letters and end with an A. Okay. That's how you name a boat.
Yeah.
So maybe this is how we should name...
Yeah, Cobra.
Yeah, Tugelita.
Oh,
Cobra.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And as mentioned, we want to talk to the real professional. You work here in the bus.
Yes.
And then we need to speak English to get the real information. No, I think it's awesome. And just before we start, we would love to get to know you. So we have prepared, as usual, 12 quick facts or questions with a guest. So let's start.
Fire away.
Okay, net or gross score?
Gross score.
Home club?
Marlboro, small members club.
Marlboro?
Yeah.
Like a cigarette?
Nearly.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah, with a G, H.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you played golf?
20 years.
Okay. Draw or fade?
Fade,
okay. Favorite club?
Lob wedge,
okay. Strengths?
On the golf course?
Yeah, it's an open question.
On the golf course, short game.
Short game, yeah. Weaknesses?
Long game.
Ever done a hole in one?
Yes, one.
One. Yep. Tournament or?
It was in a match play.
And
it was probably my worst strike of the day.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay. Nice. Still hole in one? Yeah, okay. What's your personal best?
66.
Okay.
6 under.
That's pretty good.
That's good. Good. Yeah, 6 under.
Par 72.
Yeah.
Important. Par 70.
Holes. Yeah.
Par 68. Yeah. Okay. Southern Europe or British Islands? Where do you prefer?
It's got to be golf in the sun. Southern Europe.
Yeah, okay. But you are from the British Islands, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's crazy. You because you are from England?
I'm from England, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But my preference would always be, you know, if the sun's out, then I'll go out.
Oh,
so.
Great.
Gone south. Bullebash or Café Korv?
Bullebash.
Nice. I love it.
And at least, what's your handicap?
+1.
Oh, yep. Okay. You're a pretty good golfer. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember a few years ago, if I were talking to someone from outside of Sweden, there were different handicaps around the world. But now it's a world handicap.
With the new scheme, yeah. It's easier to compare, obviously. You know, exactly. The UK and I used to have a different system, so it's a little bit easier to keep track.
Have you gone up or down in the handicap since the switch?
Previously, I was a professional for 6 years.
Oh, okay.
So I was a PGA professional. I got my amateur status back last year, so I play a lot more social golf now.
Okay. Oh, nice. So. Did you play on the Challenge Tour? Or
No. Just local region tour.
Yeah. So okay.
More PGA.
Did you do the college?
No.
No.
It's good to go amateur now because now you're best of the worst.
Yeah.
Instead of being worst of the best, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so now you are the king again. Yeah. It's
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, so we have 20 questions or something that the listeners have asked, and we want to know everything about the tour bus. And the work in it. So, Laura, have you prepared the questions, right?
Yes, I have. So, Jamie, Lennon and Swobberstoper is asking, what is the weirdest request you've ever gotten and who is the player?
One of is, if you take Ricky's Fowler Ricky Fowler's driver at the moment, I personally didn't build it, but it's 44 cut length, so it's extremely short. It's got a head weight of 204 grams, so it's heavier than average. And then the grip is a Tor Velvet 60X. So most of our guys normally are in a 58, so 60X has obviously got a rib on it, and it's quite thin. So it's quite a peculiar build.
Okay. What is the average weight on the heads?
Heads probably just under 200 instead of just over. But obviously... Yeah, Ricky having it so short in length to get a respectable swing weight, it needs to be heavier.
I love this, where we start, Nori, you know? Ricky Fowler, the level is so high, you know? When we talk about the grams, here we round the inches right, you know? It's someone is missing a 7-iron, but it's fine, you know? You can always grip it down. But this is the real level. This is the tour level.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he's struggling pretty much right now, Ricky.
Yeah, he hasn't had the probably the best start. But obviously, you know, it's a long season. We've started to come into, you know, the elevated events. The majors are coming up. So let's just hope he can find a bit more form. Yeah.
He's got the nerves.
Yeah.
But just before we move on, I just want to know, how long have you been working here in the bus?
So in the bus is recently, so I started this year. I was previously spent 7 years at another company.
Yeah.
Okay. So building golf clubs and fitting for them.
Okay.
So.
And now you do mainly, you were like the head of building clubs.
So yeah, the workshop is mine. The office isn't quite mine yet. Yeah. This is Joe's.
I got
so. So yeah.
Okay.
Is it the best job you ever had?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It seems pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So we move along. Alex Lundgren, does every shaft get softer if they are extended?
Within reason, yes.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
So if what you cut it down, it will get stiffer.
That's the thing. Like, I've been working like golf store for many years, like also in a workshop. Not at this level, of course, but like the easy truth that you can tell someone is, if you make it longer, it doesn't get softer. You know, that's an easy answer. But the tour player, they actually feel the difference.
Yeah. So although it will say S for stiff or R for reg on the shaft, obviously each shaft will have a different CPM reading, which is the actual flex of it.
Yeah.
So obviously the longer will possibly be slightly more flexible.
So if you maybe like take Fowler shaft and you cut it down,
yep.
Then you do like extend the tip or something, or
no, possibly might have, you know, less taken off the tip, because if you take off the tip end, it makes the shaft stiffer than taking off the butt end. So it's solely based upon the player. You know, there's no kind of one size fits all. All of these guys have their equipment tailored to them.
I gotcha.
Do they often change shafts depending on which like course they're playing, or if it's wide enough for?
I wouldn't say that much. More or less, if they're struggling, you know, they might look for something different. Yeah. But I'm yet to see many guys that would change. You know, golfers are quite, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So, yeah.
But like, for example, have you? I mean, you heard about Autoflex shafts.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that anything on the tour yet?
I believe a couple of guys. None of our guys are in it at the moment.
But, I mean, like Nora said, like if it's really wide course.
Yeah.
Maybe you put in an Autoflex and go for it.
I mean,
maybe it's the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to change the shafts. Obviously, it's hard to do it because you're having the right feels, your current one. But yeah, that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
tell Ricky.
I'll suggest it.
Say from a golf to get. Golf to get has a.
It's a Norris idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we move along. So Rich Ason, do players change wedges depending on the course, bounce, grind, etc.?
So obviously leading up to, say, the Open, so obviously we've got the Scottish Open and the Open, the ground's going to be a little bit firmer. So a few of the guys might have, you know, they might put in slightly lower bounce wedges, you know, leading edges might be a little bit sharper.
Yeah.
But generally week to week, we wouldn't see that much change. They're more or less updating them, so keeping the grooves fresh, than changing the bounce and the grind.
Okay, so for example, you park the bus on a Monday, for example, for the Open or whatever, and then like the players start to come in and say, "Hey, I want to try these new wedges," and then you build them.
Yep.
For
so
them, and
we'll aim to, you know, for a set of wedges, we'll get them out the door in under an hour.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, 45 minutes. So
express.
Yeah, definitely. It's like McDonald's.
Yeah. But for tour wedges. Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Nora was asking me before if like were you ever dreaming about this? And I've never put too much thought into the tour bus, but I feel like it's a big loss I never went pro now.
You know? Yeah. if you had the tour bus, then you would be a pro.
Yeah, that would be, I guess.
Thomas Sunesson is wondering, what happens with the wedges if you strong loft, for example, a 56 to a 54?
So if you strengthen a golf club, you'll get more offset, and you will decrease the bounce of the golf club as well. So.
Okay, Is that you? Do you usually do that to like custom build it or in any ways, or you don't?
I wouldn't say an awful lot. We'd more use the correct loft, and then we can grind the wedges. So all of our wedges for our tour players are raw. So we've got the ability to grind them on the wheel to change the bounce and change the sole on the wedge anyway.
Yeah,
so.
But do some players like they want to remove the offset of the lob wedge?
Yep.
So they have a 56, they take to 59 or
yeah.
something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Ah, nice. Yeah. That's pretty also, good idea. You never done that?
No, huh? I know it's been a thing to order like some irons strong lofted and then you weaken them out.
Yeah. It's quite good with our King Tour this year. Yeah. So we got a few guys playing them. They are naturally slightly stronger than conventional lofts, yeah, so like we weaken them out.
Pitch or something, right?
Yeah. I mean it's roughly yeah. So weaken it out a couple of degrees to get you 46 for a pitching wedge. And it sits really good. So
also next level, Nora.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Leonard Berggren and Rasmus Nyström. How does regular work day look like? How many hours per day, week and month do you work?
So for me personally, so I only travel when the bus travels. So generally I will, when the tour comes back to mainland Europe, that's when I am on tour. We have a few guys that do our long haul events, but the bus doesn't go. So when we're at a tour event, it will be the bus will get there before us. It will get set up. We will fly. So the first flight on a Monday morning, we'll work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the bus. Generally get the last flight back on a Wednesday.
Okay. And you you follow the schedule of the tour, right?
Yes. Yeah.
More or less. And how many weekends per year are you gone?
Whenever there's event, we'll be there.
Let's say it's 15 or 40 weeks per year.
It can change. There's a couple of events that the bus might not go to this year. Obviously we've got the Olympics that we'll be going to as well, so that's an additional two events for the men's and the ladies. So it can fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah.
But
and where are you based? In Marlborough?
So yeah, I live in a town called Swindon in England. Yeah. So it's kind
Swindon, of football club.
They have not the best football club.
No, not the best one, but I know it.
Yeah.
Maybe League One or something like
League
that.
League Two.
League Two.
Yeah, okay. From the top of my head. I'm not a massive Swindon Town fan, so.
Okay, but back there, do you work with the clubs as well?
So yeah,
when on the bus or?
Only on the bus. So this this lives in round about Reading. So when it's not on the road, that's where I'll be working.
Okay. Okay. But how many hours do you work per day, would you say, when you're out on the tour?
Essentially we'll be on the bus kind of first thing in the morning and then, you know, until kind of early evening. They're long days. You know, we're trying to cater for our guys. It's three compact long days that we try and do. So
you ever get like emergency requests?
We'll get certain. Like the problem is if the bus leaves on, you know, if it leaves on a Wednesday afternoon, we can get them stuff for the next week.
Yeah.
That's our aim basically is.
Okay.
If we're given a heads up beforehand, we can have it all ready and waiting for them when it turns up.
Pretty good service.
Yeah, it's we should have more of that service.
Yeah, definitely. So Hayden Nis is wondering, swing weight, how important is it really? Is it mostly a matter of preference?
So each guy everyone will have their preference on swing weight. It is important. Obviously, you know, with the irons, we want to maintain the same swing weight. So although the lengths are different, the balance point is essentially the same. So it is important.
Is everyone around like D2 to D5 or?
Give or take.
No one is D9 and no one is C9.
I mean, if there's a few tall guys where it will, you know, the wedges will go up to kind of D7, D8, but it's not very often. We've got the ability to maintain, you know, a long golf club and reduce the swing weight into the low to middle Ds.
If you're in the span, usually it's matter of preference.
Yeah.
Within some type of regulations, more or less.
Yeah.
And also, if you cut it as Ricky Fowler, you can change the swing weight, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you open up the club and then you add weights inside of the club head, for example?
Yes. So with the irons, we will use what's called hot melt or rack glue, what they call in the US. So it's like a chewing gum like substance. So it's very hot when you inject it into the head.
Yeah.
We can then basically choose where we put it in the head and how much grams that we put in. So we can then reach our target weight.
Yeah, this is, it's pretty cool.
it is.
So, Jeppe Daly, hey, need some help. What do I need at home to change grips at home in the kitchen or the garage?
Yeah, if someone want to start, you know, like have a mini workshop, what do you...
Sharp Stanley knife is always a good start to get the old grips off.
Yeah.
Grip tape, which you can find accessible on pretty much, you know, all golf websites. And then just some wipe spirit and some good grips. So
That's it.
Yep, it's plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds and a pretty, lot of practice. Pretty simple. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember when I worked in the workshop in a golf store. I did 11 years in a golf store. Yep. Many years in the workshop as well. And I mean, when someone new came, usually I would say it took almost 1 or almost 2 years for someone to be able to align grips perfectly.
Yeah, they can get them on, but straight's another story.
That's the thing. Like, it's so much harder than you think. Yeah.
And you know your guys at the local golf club that do their own grips, because you look at the clubs and they are kind of, you know, yeah, as straight like a as a roundabout. So. Yeah.
And in the tour, you have different types of things. They want to see the grips and different types of angles and so on.
Not an awful lot.
No.
Most of our guys that we currently service are, you know, quite happy with stuff like that. Obviously, if we've got a rib, we'll have it on, you know, the correct way up, that kind of thing.
Do anyone sell, I want the rib, 4 degrees open? Stuff like that?
Not that I've seen. No. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, I could probably guarantee there will be some guys that have it, but just no one that I've done.
Yeah,
so.
I gotcha.
Oh, okay, I see. Stefano, how would it feel for a 10 handicapper to hit the tour club? Does the sweet spot even exist?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like with the Fowler irons, for example. You know?
Yeah, I guess it depends whose golf club it is. You know, lots of these, the average swing speed is probably a lot quicker than your average Joe, but not all of them play, you know, the stiffest, longest golf clubs going. So they'd be all right. Probably not as good as your 10.5 reg, but they'd probably
survive.
But
if we start with an iron, so like what irons do the players like Søren Kjeldsen or Jens Dantorp or Svensson or what irons do they play now? Like, so, do anyone have the King Tour or are they all playing?
Yeah, quite a few. So,
they do?
Yeah,
King Tour is quite an... I play it and it's quite a forgiving club, to be honest. Yeah.
So, I mean, Ricky's in King Tour. Ewan Ferguson's in King Tour. Jesper is currently on MB up to 7-iron, then jumps into CB, then jumps into King Tour in the longer irons. So
that's also a trend, you know, going into more forgiving clubs, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Have you seen big change in the last couple of years?
Yeah, we do a lot more in King Tour, higher up in the bag, definitely.
20 years ago, it feels like 70% had MBs.
Yep.
Yeah, and now it's like...
It's the other way around now.
It's the other way around, yeah, exactly. Like 20% have MBs or not even, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, why it's a hard club to hit, so... Yeah.
You remember, the game's hard enough as it is,
isn't
it?
So. It is.
I remember August at Innisfingen where we worked.
Yeah, he
bought the Ricky Fowler irons. Maybe he had 16 handicap.
Like bread knives, aren't they?
Yeah, 2 iron to pitching wedge. And he mainly looked at them because he couldn't go out and play with them. They were... they're so good looking. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
the smallest ones ever built, I think...
They are
to sell in the shops.
Right. Smallest I've seen,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. It
looks amazing.
It says something about Fowler, you know?
Yeah, it does. Love, what is the CT regarding club heads?
Characteristic time. So it's the legal limit of what we basically the measure of the legal limit for the drivers. So
the ball speed when you hit it, basically.
So to measure the legality of the drivers, what they do is they drop a pin on the middle of the face. That pin can only stay on the face for 239 microseconds with a tolerance of 18, so 257 is your number, basically.
Oh, okay.
If it's over that, so if it's on the face, if the pin's on the face longer, the driver's illegal. So
it is basically what we call an trampoline effect, we say in Swedish, right? Yep. 0.83 or 0.86.
Yeah, so COR is the old, is the
0.83. So the new one is the CT.
So drivers are now measured through CT.
Okay, I gotcha. So. Okay.
And Robin here is actually wondering, Amy, is it correct that the club heads from the tour buses have higher CT than from a regular store?
So that's a very commonly asked question.
Yeah.
No. The only difference is...
You can optimize it more, can't you?
But they're not hotter.
No, they're not.
So because all of our heads are checked, all of our heads come in with CT measurements on them because we cannot give players hot heads.
No.
So... Our heads are checked more than retail heads, and also our heads come in with exact loft and lie and exact CT measurements.
So maybe it's the other way around. If you buy it from a golf shop,
you might get a hot one.
You might get another one.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. If it's not tested the same, right?
Who knows? Yeah.
How often do the tour test the CT test?
The RNA are at events and they do test golf clubs.
So they take a player on the driving range and say hey, come with us.
They'll test their driver.
They'll test the driver, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you can do that in here, CT test here?
We don't have the machine.
No?
Not on the truck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty straightforward machine that you can use, yeah.
Okay. Okay, interesting, yeah.
Martin Hjaldefors, what is the difference between shafts and head in the bus compared to the store? Yeah.
Yeah, what's the difference between shafts and heads in the bus compared to the store? Yeah, like, is there any difference in... If I go to a Swedish supermarket or a golf store here, superstore, and I buy a club,
yep,
like with a Ventus shaft, and then you build me one, is it...
It will be the same head.
It will be the same, yep. Yeah. And shaft-wise, like...
Shaft-wise, so we... All of our shafts are aftermarket, so they're from, you know, shaft brands.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as long as you're buying, you know, genuine Ventus, it will be the same shaft.
Yeah, okay. But you cut them here in the bus, it's coming, like... In the longer,
yeah. So they all come in uncut, and we control all of that. Yeah.
I heard, for example, like if you take the True Temper, like X100, like yep, the iron shafts.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of your players also have them.
Yeah. So currently in X100 is Beef Andrew Johnson.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And if you take like the Tour Issue,
yeah,
which is like the longer
sticker,
yeah, the longer sticker, yeah. I've heard that they are just sorted more well.
Yeah,
like the better sorted, but it's the same shaft, it's X100.
It will come in.
But it costs 3 times the price because they sort it more.
Exactly.
Is it true?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So it's, they sort it better, basically.
Yeah, okay.
But what do you call it when you, something I've heard, maybe it's a bigger thing before. It's, have you heard about puring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's puring a shaft?
So,
or puring a club?
Puring is essentially where the spine of the shaft is then inserted correctly into the golf club. So it's, I mean, most manufacturers on the European Tour don't pure aftermarket. You know, separate club builders might do, but we don't for our guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like everyone has been hearing like the story about Tiger Woods back in the day getting 10 sets on the range, and one was pure, and he could hit yeah, one shot per 8 iron, and then
yeah,
oh no, this is the pure one. It's like maybe it was a bigger thing like 20 years ago,
possibly, yeah. And
when,
you know, I mean,
there were like welds in the shafts,
yeah.
Now the shafts are like,
yeah,
more,
I mean,
round,
the shafts,
right?
Aftermarket golf shafts aren't cheap,
yeah.
So I've got all the faith in these guys that, you know, they are built correctly and they are,
yeah,
spined correctly,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, nice. Jonas Lindgren, what is the most nerdy and overkilled tool you have that not necessarily needs to be very complicated?
Probably our coffee machine, to be honest.
yeah, it was a really good coffee.
Yeah,
machine.
It was. It's like an espresso machine.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, you're an expert at everything except for the machine.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not a barista yet.
But it was still a good coffee.
It's okay. The best and the worst answer.
Yeah.
At the same time, right?
No, our workshop, you know, we pride it on being, you know, everything that's there is, you know, it needs to be there and it's got a job. So,
yeah.
You know, we're tight for space, you know, in a mobile truck. So if it's not being used, it won't be out.
Yeah,
so
you don't need to like reinvent the wheel here. Just
make
everything good.
Yeah.
And for example, like I've heard, so we have a lot of listeners that's been sending in. They want to know because they are like gluing the heads in their basements, for example, at home.
Okay.
But a lot of them fall off. Like, can you
depends put, what glue they use.
Yeah, but it's also like, can you put like small like glass balls?
Yeah,
in,
so we use
sand?
Glass beading.
Glass,
yep,
beading, that's what you use.
Yep, so that helps center the shaft as well. So it thickens your glue a little bit, helps center the shaft. A good glue is a good start, a clean hosel.
Yep.
And then obviously make sure you prep your tip of your shaft correctly as well.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it sounds so easy.
Yeah.
Just glue it,
yeah,
stick it in,
it,
and
it
go,
is,
you know.
If you have the tools,
yeah,
to
it's like school.
It, yeah.
I was good at cutting and sticking at school, so
yeah,
it was naturally
yeah,
for
were,
me to
yeah,
do this.
It's like if someone's a good photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's so easy for them to take a good photo.
Yeah.
But if you can't, you can't, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
that's true. That's
same
true
in golf. I mean, I don't know. It's
do you often change tools like over the year?
Not really, no.
No?
You
no
have the like the same ones.
Yeah. If it's not
use
broken, don't fix it.
No,
what
okay
do you have here? Like, what tools do you have here?
We've, well, everything you need to build a golf club.
Yeah,
so
like,
obviously shaft cut machine, you know, we've got hot melt guns, we've got loft and line machines, we've got pillar drills to take weight out, swing weight scale, gripping station. We've got grinding wheel for shaft tips and heads. We've got the ability to take clubs apart as well. So, yeah, we're not short of tools.
No, no. That's pretty cool. Nybyström, what player, male and female, has the softest shafts on tour?
Good question. We look after the LET as well. So, you know, a few of the girls on there use regular shafts, that kind of thing. A few of them in steel, a few of them in graphite. And then on main tour, I'm yet to see a set of regulars, to be honest. So a few guys play stiff.
Yeah, okay.
But nothing out of the ordinary.
Have you seen a lot of players, like, because I play the MMT shafts now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, can you explain a little bit more? Because we met David in Helsingborg,
yep.
The fitter there. And I mean, he blew me away, like, when I tried the graphite shafts.
Yep.
And usually I have, I swing a 7-iron in maybe 90,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Like, I've always been playing, like, soft X shafts.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he gave me a graphite. And I've been trying graphites for 10 years, but I never liked it because they don't fit the X
yep.
swing speed. But this one was like 113 grams maybe, or
yeah, it's unusually high for a graphite yeah. in an iron, definitely.
Yeah, so. Can we see that on tour now more and more as well, or not yet quite, or?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's very limited at the moment. I'm yet to see probably a set of graphites in play.
Yeah.
So
the players, maybe the new generation.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Coming up with graphite, they stick to it, but you've been playing steel for 20 years.
You're
not going to change,
yeah,
no.
Because it throws the swing weight, you know, the swing weight will be lighter, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of work to get it back to original swing weight, that kind of thing. Yeah. So.
But it's pretty cool to use graphite, I think. Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, I was really impressed because I feel like a steel can have the weight.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been hearing some, like, so many people have been trying to put in, like, regular graphite shafts from, like, hybrids and stuff in their irons, but mm-hmm. never, ever gotten the feel
yeah.
until I tried the MMT shafts with the King Tours. So.
It's probably the weight then that's
yeah.
helped.
I think more and more people will go there.
Definitely.
To be honest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you can, a graphite shaft can replicate an iron shaft, but yep. not either way around, right? But it also comes with a hefty price tag.
Graphite is more expensive.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But Jamie, you did you say that you have some male players playing stiff?
Yes. So we have a guy testing our irons at the moment. He's non-contracted, but he currently okay. uses NS950 GH, which is okay. kind of very light stiff flex.
Yeah, Nippon NS98 gram
stiff
shafts. Okay. That's really light.
So how fast is the swing speed of that guy?
Don't know. Didn't fit him. Okay. So, but yeah, yeah it's yeah. that's it's. More unusual than common.
Yeah, because it's pretty common to use X or yeah. two X.
That's not far from a regular, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we carry, well, you know, 80 to 85% of what we carry in the truck is X-Flex.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Philip Söderholm, how often do a tour player change clubs?
Depends what clubs, you know, if they're struggling, they might look at, if they're struggling with a woods, they might, you know, drop and change a little bit more than often than not. Wedges will just be updated, might change due to, you know, course conditions such as going to the Open or links events.
Yeah.
Irons, once the guy's dialed in, very rarely will they change the whole iron set for the season. Takes a little bit more time to get them dialed in with that kind of thing, so it's generally left till the, you know, the off season.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what product it is.
How okay. long do you think, like, for a tour player playing a lot, like, for they to wear out a set of irons? Do
depends how many balls they hit. I mean, I've heard stories of guys that don't practice, and I've heard stories that guys that, you know, they go through a lot of golf clubs. So yeah. it's...
That's the thing, like, when I worked in a golf store, like, when we changed equipment every year, like, the first April, May was always tough.
Yeah,
to get dialed in, but then we didn't have a Jamie, right?
No, we didn't.
That's the thing,
change,
maybe.
Like grinds and so on.
Yeah, like
all I do is build. Matt does the golden work with fitting, so
yeah.
I just get the build sheet.
Yeah.
But do you change the sole on the irons as well, usually, or?
So Jens, for instance, likes like a sharper leading edge. He doesn't like the rounded leading edge, so we yeah. might sharpen them and square them off a little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that. Not
okay.
Not very often.
Someone have been playing blades, maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
Sharp edge.
Yeah,
yeah. I can respect that.
Yeah, definitely. Vincent, what is the most important aspect when you build custom clubs?
All of it. So it's not a great answer. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, you can have the loft and lie right, but if it's an inch longer than what it's supposed to be, it's not going to help, is it?
So, no, no, that's true.
You know, it's a recipe. It's all going to work. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you need every aspect right. Like, even if the grip's wrong, it's not a good club for a good person. Like, everything needs to be perfect.
You know, our guys that are fitting don't get, you know, many opportunities to, you know, within a couple of shots, the guy's going to work out whether they like it or not. So the build has to be spot on when it's going out the door. That gives us half a chance of getting products in bag. So. Yeah.
What would you say if we had the same, as amateurs, the same experience as the Tour Pro has,
yep,
when they are testing out clubs, would we benefit from it?
I'd definitely say, yeah, go get fitted.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, there's the golf swing is a peculiar move. And, you know, people don't repeat the same move from you to me to anyone else. So it's all unique. So it needs to be fitted.
And would it be better if we took it in the long run as well? If you had like 8 hours fitting, as you, maybe the Tour Pros have? Or?
Possibly, possibly not. You know, there's plenty of good fitters out there that will get it done and dusted, that kind of thing. You know, the only thing that our guys do is that we constantly revisit it to make sure it's correct. So
yeah, okay,
that's all.
Nice. So, Joakim Palme, please, we need a what's in the bag from the staff in the tour bus. So, Jamie, what's in the bag?
Yeah, in my bag?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is maybe the most important question. Like, what, I mean, if you want to buy like anything, you need to ask the store, what do you have?
Yeah.
And then you buy his or hers instead, you know? Like,
So, starting at the top, I've got the LS driver. With we go in shaft and everything all the way through, or we just
please go ahead.
So Ventus Red 6X in that. Fairway wood, so I go 3 wood, 7 wood. I'm one of those.
Me too.
So again, so Ventus TR 7X and 8X in that. But all of those play
the red
slightly
as well?
Shorter. Yeah, yeah. TR red, yeah.
Shorter.
Yeah, so I'm not blessed with the height, unfortunately. So I cut everything down a little bit.
I mean, I mean that combination of like the dark speed heads with the red Ventus shaft.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks really good.
Also, like with a good Golf Pride with a rib.
MCC, want, multi compound for me.
Yeah, with
so.
The red black MCC.
Just black and black.
Black, yeah, that's also good. So. Yeah.
And the irons?
Irons, so I go King Tour in 4-5-6, and then 7-iron is MB down to wedge.
Okay, oh. King Tour, no CB in between.
No CB.
So you're playing MB?
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Because you like the looks.
Just looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say I had the ability.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
it's not helping you.
No, not at all.
So you probably have the MB and regular lofts, right? And then you adjusted the
so
King Tours.
Yeah, well, I've weakened the King Tour to kind of bridge the gap. Okay. So
that's amazing, Amy. So you're playing, Ricky Fowler is playing the King Tour all the way. And you were playing the MBs.
Exactly.
He's paid to play golf. I'm not.
Yeah. I love it. Nice.
That's true. And the shafts in the irons.
So Modus 120.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, classic. Nice. It's the same as you, right?
Yeah. But I have I have stiff.
Yeah. You play the XS or
stiff in the irons?
Stiff in
the
irons.
Yeah.
So nice. Pitching wedge like 46 degrees or?
45 is pretty much,
Yeah, so. And then the snake bites?
Snake bites, 50, 55, 60. So.
Okay, and you have the full face 60?
No.
Regular one?
Regular.
Yeah, and the regular stock shaft for wedges? Or?
So I go Modus 120 all the way through.
Have you built it yourself?
Yes.
No way. How many hours have you put into your own golf set?
Enough. When he has time, when he's out.
Jamie's like, I hope Cobra doesn't release new clubs in a month because then I need to take 2 more weeks to build, you know? I can't work for a few more weeks. And putter.
Putter. So at the moment, we've just launched some new ones. So I'm currently testing a few models. So, but. I don't know at the moment.
I just ordered a Sport 40, know, the vintage one. It looks so good.
Yeah, I think Hidalgo has just put one of those in. So, it's possibly going to be same.
Do you adjust
as well.
Like swing weights in your putter? And
we can do, but I'm not too fussy. So the standard golf I play can't, you know, it won't make that much difference.
Okay.
Jamie, do you usually play like golf courses when you're out in the tour bus as well?
Not all the time, no. So everyone thinks, you know, you play loads of golf, but it's not entirely true. So
I mean, I guess Jamie's pretty picky, you know.
Yeah, of course.
He's not borrowing a golf set.
No.
It's pros and cons, you know, working here. You get to see the best and be the best in the same,
But you've been playing pretty good courses, I guess.
We've played a few, yeah.
That's nice.
Have you played like St. Andrews? And
I haven't played golf in St. Andrews, no. So
have you played a lot in Scotland? Or you
not a lot,
in
no.
England, mostly?
Mostly in England, yeah.
What's the best course you've played?
Good question. I've played St. George's and St. Port's.
In England?
In England, yeah, Royal St. George's. That's probably my favourite.
And they're
a shot under par
around it. Canon. Like, they're really good.
Sorry?
It's amazing, is it?
Yeah.
Is it like a tour course?
St. George's? Yeah, Royal St. George's. It's on the open rotor.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Nice. So thank you very much for having us here in the tour bus.
Thank you for coming on.
It's been our pleasure, like meeting the tour bus specialist from Cobra Puma Golf.
Yeah, pretty cool. So what is the next step on tour you're going to?
So our next event that I'll be is Belgium in May. So we've got a few long haul events that our guys are going to be going to in the meantime. As the tour is currently in the Far East. And then it kicks off for me again in Belgium. So
cool.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And thank you very much.
The Open later on.
Yep.
That's cool.
If we come, we might take that couch on the other side.
That's fine. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, okay, now we have it recorded, right?
we do.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Yeah, much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Tusen tack också. Vad kul att ni har varit med och lyssnat. Hoppas att ni fattade min engelska. Och
det var jättefin av det.
Det funkar, eller?
Ja, du har ändå bott i Spanien.
Ja, det har jag ju. Ja, precis. Där var det ju... Ska vi köra på spanska nästa gång?
Ja, de pratar ju inte engelska i Spanien i och för sig.
Nej, det är jävligt sant. Ja. Tusen tack till Cobra Puma Golf och till Bryggmästarens alkoholfria. Ja,
tusen tack.
Magiskt. Hoppas att ni får en magisk helg där ute i stugorna.
Äntligen fredag.
Hej!
En poddproduktion av Fredag. Det finns det ingenting jag gjort själv.